And in the studio with us are a number of very well-dressed gentlemen, and they are, let me introduce them. Roy Miller is here. Hi, Roy.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Also, Michael Watts is here. Michael,
Good morning.
They've brought in backups and supporters, too. So we've got a full studio here. These are all attorneys that are encouraging Sonoma County people affected by the fires to join the lawsuit against PG&E. And Roy, let's get to you first. I was sorry to hear that you yourself are a member of what we call the club of people who have lost their homes in the wildfires of October.
It was a terrible time, as it was for everybody else that lost their homes. We had 5 minutes of warning to get out. And
where were you located?
We lived in Wickiup.
Okay.
So we had about 5 minutes.
Very tough area.
Yes, yeah. We got out with the minivan and the kids and pretty much nothing else. So like a lot of other people here, we're struggling to put our lives back together.
And find a place to live in the meanwhile. I know that's certainly the most urgent need for so many displaced.
We were very fortunate to find a place in North Windsor, but I have friends that are living in travel trailers now because literally there's nothing else to rent, and some people are being encouraged to commute from Sacramento, which is insane.
Oh, no. It's tough enough to get from Santa Rosa to Petaluma, as you know.
Absolutely.
And Michael Watts is here. Now, Roy, I should say, you're a local attorney.
I am. My partner, Monty Hansen, and I have been here for many, many years. But when I decided to take on PG&E, I realized we did not have the resources.
Yeah.
So we turned to Watts Guerra because they have the expertise and they have the resources of a nationwide firm to take on a $30 billion company.
Yeah, and Watts Guerra is in town, and Michael Watts is here. And, of course, you've had your folks here for some time now in the aftermath of the fires. And all this under the umbrella, I guess, of suing PG&E, whom you believe is at least partly responsible for all of this, correct?
Sure. I think what happened in October is the latest in a decades-long trend of PG&E cutting corners and taking chances, which is causing wildfire after wildfire after wildfire. This isn't the first time, and hopefully this lawsuit will help us make it be the last time.
And I want to say, too, that CAL FIRE, who is the official investigator of the wildfires that plagued the North Bay, has not come to a conclusion about who or what is responsible for the fires in October. So with that said, how many people are joining your cause at this stage of the game?
Well, there have been hundreds that have joined us. We're filing lawsuits every day. Importantly, we're filing them right here in Sonoma County, as opposed to taking them to where PG&E is in San Francisco. But literally every day, people are joining. They're realizing that when their homes are burned down, they may have thought they were fully insured, and now we're all realizing that very few people are, in fact, fully insured. There's huge gaps in the insurance, and the claim against PG&E is the way to get your lives back together, to get fully compensated for the losses that were sustained.
Is this the kind of lawsuit, if successful, that could bust up that utility?
I don't think it'll bust up the utility, but I think by all accounts, they face multiple billions of dollars of liability. I think that the insurance claims have already been above $3 billion. Those insurance companies are going to want to be paid back. There are, in the Tubbs Fire alone, over 5,600 homes that burned to the ground, and they need to be rebuilt. And whoever caused the fire needs to pay for that. And that looks like it's going to be PG&E. And so they'll be able to withstand the multiple billions of dollars of liability that are coming their way, but it's going to hurt them.
And what makes you believe they're responsible?
Well, there's a variety of different reasons. On the night of the 8th, there were at least 10 phone calls to the 911 system. We know where those phone calls came. We know that they all reported down PG&E power lines at about the same place where the fire was observed to have begun. And so that's important. We know where the fire propagated. It started up near Calistoga, and over the next 3.5 hours, it moved south and west, destroying thousands of homes, including Roy's right here in Santa Rosa. The other thing that's interesting is that, of course, 2 days after the accident, the investigators immediately began focusing on PG&E's power lines. That's because of the anecdotal reports they got that night. PG&E has been ordered by the CPUC to preserve all evidence. That doesn't happen in a vacuum. So all signs are indicating that it's PG&E's power lines that began the Tubbs fire specifically. As to the other fires, I think those investigations are still more up in the air.
Okay, so one of my questions is, it seems likely that these fires were caused by more than one thing. We know that, for example, we endured hurricane force winds that night. And I'm not sure Mother Nature is able to be in the courtroom and a plaintiff in this. But at any rate, isn't it likely that more than one thing or entity is responsible for these fires?
PG&E put out a press release within hours of the fire starting talking about the hurricane force winds. There weren't hurricane force winds at the time the fire started. And PG&E has been ordered as part of the rules to have their lines withstand high winds anyway. Trees came into power lines. In fact, if you look outside your window right here, you'll see trees that are right up against power lines right here at this studio.
Oh, yeah.
So they will say that it's hurricane force winds. They will say it's an act of God. There are a series of decisions made over many years that they decided not to trim the trees away from power lines. You have multiple fire sources, but it's all trees into power lines. Power lines go to the ground. And instead of a circuit breaker tripping like at your house, the power line is active when it hits the dry brush, and then the wind takes it from there.
The other thing I would tell you is that PG&E is playing meteorological games. The relevant wind is the strength of the wind up near Calistoga where the fire began at 9:30. The National Weather Service has weather vanes everywhere, and they measured the winds. They were at about 30 miles an hour at 9:30. An hour later, they were only 41 miles an hour, well below the statutory minimum that requires PG&E to maintain its lines and its poles up to at least 56 miles an hour. The game that they're playing is that after hundreds of thousands of trees are consumed, a massive wildfire becomes its own meteorological event.
Yes, we do know that.
It's almost like a small storm off the coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes.
It creates its own weather,
yes.
And that's what we felt down here 3 hours later.
Well, I can tell you, and this was not part of the Tubbs fire. This was the Nuns fire where I was that Sunday night. And I'm telling you, there were hurricane force winds
Valley. The fire got going, no doubt.
Yeah. And we're talking about a separate entity now between the Tubbs fire and the Nuns fire at that stage of the game. But those winds were no joke that night.
Yeah. And on the Nuns fire, it appears, and this is all anecdotal, that there's some 60-foot eucalyptus tree that may have fallen into a PG&E power line. But we don't have as much information about the Nuns fire as we do about the Tubbs.
Okay. And so obviously there are still going to be questions. And in this San Diego case that no doubt you heard about or the regulators ruled on yesterday saying, no, the utility down south cannot charge their customers for the cost, what it cost the utility company down there to pay for the wildfire costs. They are saying this is not a precedent. This is not the case. It's going to be in every fire. How important is it? I mean, can you as a law firm, move forward without an official cause?
Well, the first question that you had is about the PUC order of yesterday. And the bottom line is it was a critically important order. They can be as politically correct as they like and say it's not a precedent, but I'm telling you it was a precedent. It was a 5-0 vote. And it's important from a variety of different aspects. Number one, the precedent about who's going to have to pay for a fire that PG&E started. The commission said it's PG&E.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's important because at the same time that San Diego Gas and Electric was before the commission trying to get ratepayers to pay for the uninsured portions of what they had to pay out to the victims of the San Diego fire in 2007, PG&E should have been out trimming power lines. Instead, it had its lawyers intervening in San Diego Gas and Electric's case 2 weeks before this fire began. And so I think that juries are not going to be impressed that you've got your legal arm trying to set up, in effect, an immunity at the expense of the ratepayers at the time that you should be out trimming trees and preventing power lines to fall down.
Do you think it'll ever get to a jury?
I think that in any case where you have thousands of people filing suits, sometimes there's a need for test lawsuits. Typically in these big mass torts, five or six cases will be tried so the juries can decide and give us a predictor. If you did this thousands of times, what would the likely result be? I would expect that there would be two or three or four trials before everybody has the information that's necessary to decide how to resolve the rest of the cases.
And Roy, we just have to give you the last word on this as we head toward the top of the hour on ABC News, that hopefully your own personal story is progressing as it should. And I know that you hope that this is the outcome of this lawsuit is a part of recovery for many.
It's been a struggle for our family, and it's a struggle for a lot of people. And what we're doing is we're trying to provide people with information, not just about the lawsuit, but about their insurance options. And we have meetings tonight from 6 to 8 and tomorrow from 2 to 3:30. And I hope people would like to get more information.
Where will that be?
That'll be at 415 Russell Avenue, right at our offices, because we want people to get better. We want people to be helped.
All right. That is the Hanson Miller office in Santa Rosa tonight and tomorrow.